All right, so today we're diving into, get this, a Bella Italia trip.
Ooh, sounds fun.
Venice, Florence, Rome, September 3rd to the 11th, 2025. But, and this is key, this is just hitting the main tourist spots. You've gone all in on this itinerary.
Yeah, just from looking at it, I'm impressed. This is clearly planned for two people, that small group, experience.
Exactly. So let's jump right in. First things first, you're landing in Venice. September 3rd, arrival, but not just any arrival. You've got a private water taxi straight to the hotel, El Teatro Palace.
Oh, wow. Talk about an entrance. Most people are fighting through crowds to get to their hotels in Venice. You're going to be gliding through canals.
Right.
Have you ever been to Venice? Because arriving by water, it's really something
I
special.
can only imagine. And speaking of doing things right, I see you've got Enjoy Respect Venezia regulations in here, which is something that a lot of people forget to even think about before they go.
Yeah, it's really important. Venice is a delicate city, and these regulations protect it. They've banned those wheeled suitcases. Yeah, and picnics on the bridges are a no-go now, too. There's even that new tourist tax. But good news, you're staying at a hotel, so exempt.
Exempt, but still important to sort out beforehand. Need that exemption voucher. Thankfully, details are right here in this itinerary, so that's good.
Exactly. Always better to be prepared, especially in a city as unique as Venice.
Okay, so once you settled into Venice a bit, you've got a walking tour planned. All the classics. St. Mark's Basilica, Doge's Palace. But done right.
Yeah, and it's not just a quick run through either. They've got the Loggia dei Cavalli on here, which is essential if you want the best view of St. Mark's Square. Most people miss it completely.
Insider knowledge. Okay, so 2 days in Venice, then what?
Next up, Florence. High-speed train. Right out of the watery canals and into Tuscany.
Very nice.
And just like in Venice, no lugging bags around. They've got a private transfer waiting to take you to the Hotel de la Ville.
Love it. So Florence, art, yes, but you've got something for the taste buds too.
Oh, yes, the wine tasting. Three different wines paired with snacks. Perfect way to unwind after a day of exploring.
Sounds delightful.
Have you ever done a wine tasting? They walk you through all the notes and the pairings.
I can only imagine.
It's really interesting.
Before we get too sidetracked, though, let's get back to those Florentine masterpieces.
Yeah.
The walking tour hits all the major spots:
Well.
the Baptistery, Piazza del Duomo, and of course, Michelangelo's David.
Oh, and speaking of Michelangelo's David, the Duomo ticket they give you, it's good for 72 hours.
Whoa.
All those monuments in the Piazza del Duomo are yours to explore.
Good to know. All right, so we've had our fill of art and wine in Florence. Now what?
Rome, here we come. Staying at the Hotel Capo d'Africa, it's eco-conscious, which I think is a nice touch, close to the Colosseum.
Very cool. I love seeing more sustainable options. Okay, let's talk about some of these Roman highlights because, wow, on that first day alone, you're doing a Highlights of Rome tour. Trevi Fountain, the Pantheon.
Make sure to bring some coins for that Trevi Fountain.
Ah, yes.
The legend is, if you toss a coin over your shoulder, it guarantees you'll return to Rome.
I love that. And of course, no trip to Rome would be complete without the Pantheon. Have you ever been inside? It's incredible.
Absolutely breathtaking. That dome with its oculus open to the sky, it's a masterpiece of Roman engineering. You just have to see it to believe it.
Amazing.
But I'm getting ahead of myself. You were about to tell us about the Vatican City tour.
Yes, Vatican City, it's like stepping into a whole other world. You'll be going into private sections, the Cabinet of the Masks, and the Gallery of Candelabra. The history there.
Incredible. I'm excited to hear about this Discovering Ancient Rome tour. It sounds incredible. I mean, it's one thing to see photos of the Colosseum, but can you imagine actually standing inside, picturing the gladiators, the roar of the crowd?
70,000 spectators, it's almost unimaginable. The energy, the noise, wow.
Right. And it's not just the Colosseum. This tour also includes the Roman Forum, which was the heart of ancient Rome for over 1,000 years. That wasn't just some ruins, it was a bustling center of life.
I love picturing these places back in their heyday. It's incredible. So to recap, so far you've got the magic of Venice, the artistry of Florence, and the wonders of ancient Rome. But I have a feeling this trip is more than just a checklist of destinations, right?
You're right. It's about all those little moments in between, all those details that can elevate a trip and make it truly special.
And that's exactly what we'll uncover in the next part of our deep dive.
Something that stood out to me as we went through all of that, this itinerary doesn't just rush you from one big landmark to the next. There's time to actually enjoy yourself,
Oh.
a good balance of those guided tours and then just free time.
Totally. It's like they know when to hold your hand and when to let you wander and discover on your own. Which, speaking of, any advice for our listener on finding those, you know, off the beaten path spots.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In Venice, ditch the crowds around the Grand Canal and get lost in the Dorsoduro district. It's on that quieter side. But think like charming cafes, artisan shops with beautiful waterfront views.
Now that's what I call authentic. What about in Florence? Where should our listener go to escape the hustle and bustle?
Head south of the Arno River to the Oltrarno neighborhood. It's full of these artisan workshops, leather goods, those amazing little trattorias.
Trattorias, music to my ears.
Yeah.
Any tips for our listener on what to order when they're in Florence?
Okay, so when in Rome, right, or Florence, look for cucina povera on the menu.
Okay.
Which sounds a little misleading. It means poor cooking, but it's not bad at all. It's all about the simple, fresh, seasonal dishes. Really hearty, comforting food.
Sounds right up my alley.
Yeah.
Any specific dishes you'd recommend?
You can't go wrong with the bistecca alla Fiorentina. It's a classic for a reason. That's that thick, juicy, perfectly grilled T-bone steak.
Oh, my.
And for that real cucina povera experience, try the Ribollita hearty bread and vegetable soup.
I am taking notes. This is amazing. Okay, so we've got Venice, we've got Florence. What about Rome? Hidden treasures in the Eternal City.
So everyone goes to the Colosseum and the Forum, which of course you should. But for something different, go up Aventine Hill. It's one of the seven hills of Rome. The views are incredible, especially from the Giardino degli Aranci, the orange garden.
Okay, wait, an orange garden?
Yeah, a secret garden overlooking ancient Rome. I mean, how cool is that?
So cool. See, these are those special little details that can make a trip unforgettable.
And while you're on Aventine Hill, don't miss the keyhole view of St. Peter's Basilica. It's this perfectly framed view of the basilica. You look through an actual keyhole in a gate. It's really neat.
I've seen pictures. It's really something. Okay, we've talked about food, those secret spots, but there's more to a new place than just that, right? Any tips for navigating those Italian customs?
Yeah, for sure. Italians are generally really welcoming, but it's always nice to show that you're making an effort. Simple buongiorno during the day or buonasera in the evening instead of defaulting to English. It goes a long way.
It's about meeting people where they are, right? Mm-hmm. You're a visitor in their home.
Exactly. And be prepared for la dolce far niente, the sweetness of doing nothing.
I love that.
Italians have mastered this. They savor every moment. So ditch that go-go-go mentality and just enjoy that long lunch.
I am all about that. Okay, on a more practical note, what's the deal with tipping in Italy?
It's not like some other countries where it's expected, but it's appreciated for good service. Mm-hmm. Rounding up the bill or leaving a couple of euros at a restaurant is perfect. Same with taxis.
Perfect. Any other advice? Things most tourists wouldn't know.
Okay, let's talk gelato.
Yes.
Don't be afraid to go beyond the typical chocolate or vanilla.
Okay.
Try flavors you might not recognize, like fior di latte, it's a sweet cream, or ricotta e fichi.
Hold on. Ricotta and figs.
Ricotta, cheese, and figs. It's amazing.
Wow. Okay, I'm listening.
And this is key. If you see those mountains of brightly colored gelato, that's usually not a good sign. It might not be the freshest. Look for places that use those covered metal containers called pozzetti.
Good to know.
It means they're serious about their gelato.
Quality over quantity for sure, especially with gelato. Any other advice from the expert before we wrap up?
One last thing. Churches, especially the Vatican, remember modesty is important. Bring a light scarf or something to cover your shoulders, especially if you're wearing something sleeveless. It's about being respectful.
Right. Always better to be respectful. Speaking of respect, I noticed the itinerary mentions enjoy respect Venezia again. It's a good reminder that even small choices, where you eat lunch, it can impact a place like Venice.
Exactly. Be a mindful traveler. Are you ready to dive into those more, I guess, emotional aspects of this Bella Italia itinerary? Because I think that's where it gets really interesting.
I am so ready. You know, at the end of the day, it's not really about the itinerary itself, right? It's those moments, the ones that stay with you long after you're home, the ones that change you a little bit.
Yeah, like standing in a place where you can feel the history. It makes your own life feel so small, you know? And I think this trip, even just on paper, it's got a lot of those moments.
Totally.
Yeah.
Standing in the Colosseum. Imagining what it must have been like.
Yeah.
All those people. That's not just sightseeing. That's like traveling through time.
Right. 70,000 spectators, gladiators. I mean, life and death played out right there.
Yeah.
Makes you think.
For sure. And on a totally different note, but with that same power, St. Peter's Square, Michelangelo's dome, that's got to be an experience.
You can't really grasp it from photos, the scale of it all, the artistry. It's almost spiritual, even if you're not religious.
I love that. And going back to what we were talking about before, that La dolce far niente, that Italian way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect place to just be present in those moments, you know?
It's true. We're always so busy, we forget how to just slow down and enjoy. Italy forces you to do that in the best way. Like that long lunch, it's not just about the food, it's about the conversations, the atmosphere.
It's under your skin, you bring a piece of it home with you.
Exactly.
And that's worth more than any souvenir.
100%. It's not about escaping your life, it's about adding to it. And this trip, it's got so much to offer.
Well said. I want to thank you for sharing all of this incredible insight. This has been amazing.
My pleasure. Always happy to talk about Italy, especially with someone who gets it.
And to you listening, we hope this deep dive has not only given you a taste of what's to come on your Bella Italia adventure, but also a sense of wonder and excitement for those transformative travel moments that await. Until next time, keep exploring, keep dreaming, and as always, keep diving deep.